Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi-yo. Welcome to Kids Book Tales. My brother's name is Ollie and I'm Die Boy. Thank you for listening from Mommy's podcast. See you later.
Kia ora and welcome back to Kiwi Birth Tales. I am your host, Jordan. I'm a mum of two. I've got Jai, who is four, and Ali, who is 2.5. I also have a business baby, Your Birth Project. And if you are pregnant or you know someone who is, then you need Your Birth Project in your life. It is my online hypnobirthing course, and it's designed to help you create your best birth. Hypnobirthing, don't let the word scare you away. It is literally for everybody. It doesn't matter if you're planning to have a home birth, a free birth, a hospital birth, a birth center birth, an elective cesarean, a drug-free birth, like literally anything, it will have something in there for you. It's super reasonably priced and you can access it both on the web, on your phone, on your computer, or if you're an iOS user, you can also download the Your Birth Project app once you're signed in. So make sure you go and check it out. It is going to make your birth a million times better and it will give you all of the information that you need to have a better birth. So go and check that out. Today I am speaking with the beautiful Gemma and she takes us through her two super positive birth stories. I really loved recording this one. I know you're going to enjoy listening to it. So I will let you get into the episode. As always, I'm super grateful that you've chosen to have me in your ears today. And if you want to give me some feedback, let me know how you found the episode or just let me know anything else about the podcast. You can find me, Jordan, J-O-R-D-Y-N, at kiwibirthtales.com or you can find me at kiwibirthtales or at Your Birth Project on Instagram. Okay, let's jump into the episode.
Hey, Gemma, thanks so much for joining me on the Kiwi Birth Tales podcast today.
Hi, Jordan. Thank you for having me on here.
No worries. We are going to talk all things mum life today, but why don't we start with an intro to you and who is in your family?
Beautiful. Well, hi, I'm Gemma. I am a mum of two beautiful girls, Coco and Belle, and a partner to Ben. We have been together for 5 years and live in beautiful Padmore Beach. I work part-time and the rest of my time I am mum to my two girls, cleaning, cooking, you name it.
Yeah. And you've got some reno stuff going on as well, don't you? I always see on your socials.
That yeah, we do. That. So much going on. I feel like we never have time to focus on one thing. It's a little bit of everything, but loving it. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Amazing. Well, I'm excited to have you on today. Why don't you start with telling us a little bit about the journey to pregnancy for you and Ben?
Absolutely. Perfect. So we've obviously got two little girls. Our eldest is Coco. She was born 2020. So to begin with that, we didn't really have like a plan as such, but I was on contraception for quite a long time before I met Ben. And as soon as we met, I just knew that he was the one for me. And I just didn't want to be on birth control anymore. I wanted to be more in control of my own cycles and learn more about my body. And I was still studying. He had moved to Auckland to be in the Navy. And it wasn't until the end of 2019 where we both just said, look, if it happens, it happens. Mm-hmm. And then I fell pregnant November 2019, supposed to be due August 2020. When we met and when he began his time in the Navy, he wasn't allowed his phone or anything. So We literally used to write each other letters like, the Dear Johns or letter sort of thing. And I remember in most of the letters we wrote to each other, we both just said that we knew we were right for each other. Like, it was just, the letters were just such a blur, but so much fun. And we had both expressed how we wanted kids young. His parents were quite young when they had him as well, and he just found it really fun growing up. And he too agreed. And then from then onwards, we just both said, if it happened, it happened. It's not like we sat down one night and just said, look, let's do it sort of thing. We barely saw each other. It was like once or twice every month sort of thing.
Amazing. And talk us through finding out you were pregnant. So did you like miss a period or did you have other symptoms? Did you take a test? What happened there?
Yeah, well, we actually were over in Aussie early December until Christmas Eve. And I knew my period was due like Christmas Eve, it must have been. And the last week of our holiday, I was being so, like, such a bitch to him. Everything I was picking fights about, oh, honestly, I felt so bad. And looking back now, I'm just like, oh my God, he should have just left me. And yeah, so we're over in Aussie. And then I just couldn't stand being outside. Obviously, it's so hot over there in summer, but I'd be outside for 5 minutes and I'd just feel so nauseous. So ended up just like kept going back inside. My boobs started to get quite sore and I was like, oh, like normal when I'm about to get my period sort of thing. Expected. And then we got back home like Christmas Eve and I was like, oh, my period's due. Like, wonder what's going on sort of thing. And then Christmas Day and I was like, oh, this is really weird. Like, normally it's either the day I'm due or the day before. So I was like, look, I'll just take a test. And then, yeah, I took a test Christmas Day. And it wasn't like the exciting videos that you see on Instagram. We were both having a shower and I was like, right, you can look at it. I'll look at it afterwards. And he looks at me and he's like, oh, there's two lines in it. What does that mean? I'm like, are you that dumb? And yeah, it's like as soon as you see two lines, your life completely changes forever, especially as, you know, like I was 20 when I felt pregnant. Ben was 23. I was two-thirds of my way through university. He was living in Auckland in the Navy. We both had, like, created a little plan of where we wanted to get to in the next 6 months sort of thing. But, yeah, life completely changed forever. And, no, like, preparation or trying to plan for a pregnancy, nothing can excite you and, like, create that first look in comparison to, like, your first pregnancy test. So that makes sense, you know? It's like, am I really pregnant? I don't feel it. But, yeah, that was... That was that, Christmas Day, so good times.
And did you tell, like, your immediate family straight away? What did you do about telling
people? Yeah, like, we were both like, oh, my God, are we pregnant? Like, are we actually pregnant? And I went to, first thing, I went and saw Anne, so his mum, and I sat down on the couch, and I was like, I'm pregnant. She was like, oh, okay. And we had plans to go over to my parents for, like, lunch that day, and mum was sitting down, and I was like, I'm going to tell mum before dad walks in the room. And she's like, no way. And I was like, yes. And then that were like, okay, like, you've got uni, like, what are you going to do? And I was like, we're fine. Like, you know, we're going to sort it. We wanted this sort of thing. It's, you know, you just make anything work.
Amazing. Very cool. And how did you feel throughout the rest of your first trimester? Did you have many pregnancy symptoms?
I think my boobs were definitely, like, the most sore out of the lot. But I was very sleepy, like, very, very tired. I'm not one that normally naps throughout the day. But I found myself falling asleep on the couch so much. And, yeah, Ben just, like, kept taking photos of me, falling asleep. And I was like, right, like, that's obviously one thing that I'm feeling. But otherwise, no, I was pretty lucky. Actually, there was one thing. I didn't feel nauseous or anything, but after I'd get up in the morning, I'd have a shower, get ready, drink, like, a glass of water, eat something, and as soon as I'd eat, I'd just find my head in the toilet bowl for, like, 2 minutes. And then I'd carry on with my days if nothing happened. But it was just, for the first, like, maybe 3 or 4 weeks, sporadically, it was like that. But otherwise, nothing. I was very, very grateful.
Awesome. And did you go with a midwife for your care?
Yeah, I did. We, one of my mum's best friends, she's a midwife, so we're very lucky to have her.
Nice. Always nice when you know someone, like, you don't have to build that relationship with them.
Just having that personal relationship makes everything a little bit easier. I mean, I couldn't speak from someone that didn't have that relationship with me, but very, very grateful.
Amazing. And take us through, did you do, like, all of the standard testing, and did you want to know the sex of your baby?
Yeah, so we did all of the standard testing as recommended. We wanted to keep our gender a surprise. We both just said, you don't get many surprises in life, make the most of it sort of thing. So we didn't find out what we were having, but I just had an inkling. I was like, I just feel like I'm having a boy. And then I was like, no, I feel like I'm having a girl. But, we went through all the normal tests and stuff.
Yeah, awesome, cool. And what about like birth education? Did you do antenatal? Did you know like anything about how you wanted your birth to go? What were your thoughts there?
I've always been quite like a laid back person in regards to plans with anything, really. I didn't want to create a birth plan as such. I just wanted to go with the flow, because I mean, I've always been of the impression if you plan something, your mindset is to how it has to go. So if it doesn't go that way, then obviously how are you going to feel, sort of thing. I did this, I was pregnant during lockdown. I think it was like an online antenatal group that we had to do. So Ben and I just sat in bed each night watching the videos of that sort of thing. I mean, your midwife, obviously, she asks what's your ideal plan of birth, and I just said, like, I'm literally just going to take as it comes.
Yeah.
Very open-minded. What happens, happens. Nothing's going to make me upset by if it doesn't go the way that an ideal would.
Cool. Amazing. And were you doing anything, like, towards the end of your pregnancy to try and, like, bring labour on? Did you do any of, like, the antenatal expressing or dates or Raspberry Leaf tea, any of that stuff?
Yeah, I did. 8 dates expressed. I actually had, I went and got moxibustion on my toes. Don't ask me what it does, but apparently it's supposed to do something. I had that. And then what else? Oh, acupuncture as well.
Yeah.
It was quite different first pregnancy to second pregnancy with the acupuncture though. And then walking up and down the road, like on the curb.
Yeah.
Nice food, sex, everything. Yeah, you name it. Nothing works.
Yeah, so talk us through that sort of final week of pregnancy. How far along did you get? And then, yeah, did you go into spontaneous labor? Take us through your labor and birth story.
So I was 39, nearly 40 weeks when my midwife said to me, did you want to do a stretch and sweep? Ben, he was in between like time away at sea and time at home, and he had like a 3 or 4 week period off, so I was like, I want my baby now, so he's got time to be at home with us before he's got to go back away. So we began stretch and sweeps from like 39 weeks 40 weeks I think and then oh yeah must have been 40 weeks actually continued with that, and then I think I was 40 weeks, 6 days, and I had another stretch and sweep. And then that night, I was cooking dinner, started to get cramps in my lower back, and I was like, oh, like, I guess it's felt normal to get cramps after you get a stretch and sweep anyway. I'm not thinking much of it, sort of thing. Went to bed that night, and then I think it was 11 o'clock. I went to the bathroom, came back to bed, and I put like a blowy underneath me because I was like, oh, you never know. My water's break. I don't want it to go on my bed. And then, yeah, I got back into bed and then my water's broke. And then all my contractions just started to come from there. I labored at home for a couple of hours. My most comfortable position was on like a Swiss ball, standing, walking, like, anything where I'm applying pressure onto my feet was just quite uncomfortable for me. So I felt like to manage my pain, I was most comfortable on the Swiss ball. Took some paracetamol and just like hung at home for a few hours, and then rang my midwife. We went up to the Bethlehem Birthing Center. So that's our local birthing center. And I think it was like 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock that we got there. And then, yeah, I just continued on the Swiss ball. Nothing like, it wasn't like an exciting labor or anything like that. Then I had taught, well, the person who was doing my acupuncture and the moxibustion sent me home with some like reflexology and like the pressure point side of thing. And yeah, he was doing that into my lower back, which I found that really helped throughout each contraction. I did try the gas, but I felt like that didn't really help me. It almost took me into like a different world when I was in labor. It's just such a weird feeling. I was like, I don't like this. I like to be in control. Yeah, so I labored there for, I think it was around 7 hours from when I got there to finish. I felt like I sat on the toilet backwards, went into water, the pool, everything, and I just didn't feel like that was for me. Mm. Was most comfortable on the ball, and then got onto the bed for a little bit, and then yeah, I birthed her at like 7 a.m. that next morning. Honestly, like, I could do the whole labor process over and over again. It's just so empowering.
Mm.
And I think it's like, it's one moment that in my life, nothing else will top that feeling.
Yeah.
Is going through that whole process. And someone always said to me, like, every breath brings you closer to your baby. And just knowing that every time I did take a breath, I was like, right, I'm one more breath closer to girl or boy, whoever knows. yeah, so then I had her at 7 a.m.-ish, and then Ben thought she was a boy because he could see, like, the umbilical cord coming between her legs. And he's like, it's a boy! And I was like, no, sorry. And then, like, he wasn't distraught, but he's like, oh, okay. and then, yeah, put her straight onto my chest. She did have quite a lot of mucus, though. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't making it easy for her to breathe, I must say. Mm-hmm. So they had to bring all their tools and stuff in to suction all the mucus out of her, to then, like, get her crying. I wasn't as concerned in the moment because obviously as a mum, like, you've freshly birthed a baby.
Mm-hmm.
My mind is more on, like, am I literally still in one piece or am I in two pieces right now?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, put her on me, on my breast, and, yeah, we were good from there.
Yeah, amazing. And did you need any stitches from your birth?
No, I didn't actually, not, no.
Yeah, amazing. And did they have to, like, take her away to do the suction of, like, mucus and stuff before they put her back on you?
Yeah, like, that machine in, I don't know, like, their emergency sort of trolley with everything. Yeah. They were actually thinking of sending us up to the hospital because she just wasn't, she didn't cry as such when I first pulled her out. Mm. And they were just concerned because she did poop just as she was coming out. So they weren't sure if she did inhale or whatever. But I was like, honestly, you guys do whatever you need to do. You know more than me. I trust you. Yeah. And I think going back to the whole birthing plan process, I was very relaxed in that aspect. I didn't have a plan. So I feel as though if I did have a plan, that would have changed my whole mind frame around that as well.
Yeah.
So very, very relaxed. Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. And how did you find, like, the next couple of hours? I feel like it's so crazy after you give birth and then, like, you just got your little human there.
I know.
And yeah, it's so crazy. So how did you find,
like, yeah, the next couple of hours?
Oh, right. Yeah.
I actually completely forgot that you had to birth a baby. I was like, how often do I feed her? How often do I change her?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, yes, you babysit, but you don't learn all that sort of stuff when you're babysitting. You're like, okay, I'll just feed them at 10 o'clock or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just learning and relearning all of that again,
having
that reassurance from the midwives and in the rooms and stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't find my first birth with Coco. I didn't know if it was an age thing for me or not. But they almost, like, presumed that I knew what I was doing, but I really didn't know what I was doing when I was first breastfeeding. Like, yes, you're supposed to obviously put them on your breast as soon as you birth them, but having that whole education around how you do it, all those sort of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even for somebody that's 30 or 40, so it's so new to you when you have your first baby. So I struggled with that for the first few hours, especially how often to feed her. I remember one midwife coming in, she was like, oh, when did you last feed her? I was like, oh, not that long ago. I just gave her like half of the little, like, 0.5 a mil sort of thing.
She
was like, oh yeah, that's fine. And then I was like, are you sure? Like, is that enough? But yeah, just relearning and all of that sort of thing. But yes. No, the first few hours are really beautiful. They go by so fast.
So
you're like encouraged to get up and have a shower and do this, and it's like, wow. Yeah.
And did you have her name picked out? Like, so did you have a boy and girl name?
We did. I think there was a very easy thing about not knowing what you're having is for us, we chose a boy and a girl name. So we had Coco picked out, and then for a boy, we had Monty, but we also didn't have a boy. So we just knew straight away. We're just like, it's Coco. She so suits it. And even to this day, we're like, you are such a Coco.
She is such a Coco. Love it. Amazing. And how long did you stay in the birth center for?
We went there for, I think, because I went in the night or that morning, so like 1 a.m. We stayed there, I think it was 3 days all up. And then at the time, when I birthed her, we came back from Auckland so I could birth her. And then we went back up to Auckland like 3 weeks after I had her. So we were living with family for that 3 weeks. And then, having that support was really, really helpful.
And did you find the move back to Auckland, like, challenging? Or, how did you find going from having the family support and living with family to then being back in your own place?
Definitely quite different. I think Ben and I were almost quite looking forward to, obviously, when you bring a baby home, it's so nice to just have your own little family. But having that support to be able to, like, press play on the washing machine sort of thing, or, you know what I mean? And being such a new mum, that reassurance, especially when your partner's back at work, that's really, really vital. So, it was really nice having that support whilst living at home for the first couple of weeks. And then, moving up to Auckland. It wasn't as bad as what we thought, but obviously, grateful for that support that we did have.
And how did you find, like, the adjustment? Obviously, you go from being, like, a 20 or 21-year-old, like, pretty carefree type of lifestyle, studying uni, like doing, I'm sure you're living your best life, to then you've got like a little tiny human in your life and in your relationship. And how did you find the adjustment to mum life?
I was very prepared for it mentally. I felt I was never your typical 20-year-old that would go out and drink. I was always kind of just like tagged along to try and fit in with all the social aspects. I just knew that I was ready for that, and absolutely, as everybody else, it is definitely a big change from going from your own relationship focus to family focus, and learning every single day. I found like the postpartum hormones were massive for me, though. I think it was from like day 3 to 5 after I had Coco. I would in the evenings obviously go and have a shower, get warm, change. But as soon as I got out of the shower, I would just bawl my eyes out for so long. Like, such an adjustment, as you say, from going from nothing to something. But you're that person's centre. Like, you are literally their everything. So you're needed, and you're literally stretched in all different directions. But that's the day that, like, it starts that week sort of thing. So it's, just adjusting to that. I struggled with that because I was like, oh, I hope I'm being a good mom. But Ben was amazing. He'd just come and cuddle me and just reassure me every single night for those first few nights, as always. But it's just nice having the extra support just to put those hormones at ease, because, oh my God, they're so tough.
I remember that as well. Just like crazy. Cool. And how did you find like the transition in your relationship as sort of things got on? And I just feel like it's such a huge change for a couple to go through their first baby. Like, it's such a massive shift and adjustment. How did you and Ben find like navigating that? And what was that like for you guys?
My friends and I were actually talking about this last week. We were just saying how the first year of transitioning from being a couple into a family is huge, and nobody talks about it.
Like,
it's not just communication, but your relationship is solely driven by this little baby, pretty much. And everything changes straight away and nobody can prepare you again for that relationship change. You don't, it's not like you can say, hey, look, let's go get an ice cream or let's go get dinner. You know, you've got to pack nappies. You've got to pack this, this, that, everything. So yeah, we definitely struggle with the first, I'd say maybe 6 to 8 months because we were both trying to refind ourselves.
Yeah.
Ben was away a lot with his job at sea. He was in COVID, so he was having to work in the isolation facilities quite a lot too. So I was home a lot. And then when he'd come home, he'd go out and play golf with his friends. And I just felt like I missed out a lot from, like, obviously we were living in Auckland, so my friends went up there. And I just felt very, very lonely. And I'd almost blame him for that feeling.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Because he had a great job, he had his friends around him, and I was this new mom sitting at home all day, every day.
Yeah, it sort of feels like my life is,
every day.
Yeah, you're like, my life is completely 100% different and your life like the same in a way. You've still got your job, you've still got your mates, you still do things on like the weekends or whatever. Yeah. And yeah, I can definitely, like, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that.
Gosh, yes. And like, it's so normal when I look back at it now and talk to so many other couples, but yeah, we fought so much in that fought first year because it's it's literally a make or break year, I feel. But we made it.
And I think it's like the normalizing of that. Like, I've never hidden or like shied away from the fact that like parenting has been the hardest thing for any relationship, but certainly for like our relationship. And it's just reality. It's like, it is hard and there's a lot of different things at play in everybody's different relationships. And I think it's really normal to have those periods of time where you're just like fighting all the time and nothing feels like it's going right. And finding the way through that, I think, is really important.
So true. Even now, we're just like, right, we actually need to prioritize this, 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 and this, or it doesn't get done. And I mean, yes, we're still very young, but we're still parents at the end of the day, so everything's got to flow as normal.
Yeah, when you've got young kids, it's like, it's just so hard to find, like, the right priorities, I feel like, in your relationship, because there's always something else. Something there will always be something else. Amazing. Oh, cool. Sure. And how did you decide? Did you always know that you wanted more than one child? Did you like plan to fall pregnant with the sort of age gap that you had? How did you go with that?
I'd always wanted to be a young mom, and I wanted to have more than two kids. Obviously, we've just got two. I only had one sibling growing up, and all of my cousins are 35 to 50 years older than me. My dad had quite a lot of siblings, so I didn't get that extended family side of things. I wanted to give my kids what I kind of missed out on from that. I just felt like a 2 to 3 year gap for us was our ideal. I couldn't have done anything sooner. My first girl, she's Coco, she's a very busy girl. You know us, if we're at a coffee, like at a cafe or anything, I literally cannot sit down. I'm running here and everywhere. And I know that both Ben and I, we needed to give her our all whilst we could without thinking about a second one at a time.
Yeah.
I ended up going back to uni August 2021. So I ended up finishing my feeding journey with her there. I went back to my final placement. So I was working in a general practice facility for around 12 weeks, I think it was in total. And then from then onwards, carried on to my state exams. So we were living in Auckland at this time. I was studying extramurally from the Tauranga uni campus. So we had family come up, week about sort of thing, to help us on the days where I was at my practicum. And then obviously Ben was still working. And then I finished my study November 2021. and then got offered a job where I was working as a GP nurse. Mm-hmm. So we stayed up there and I was working over summer. And then put Coco into daycare, I think it was end of January 2022. And then I think it was February. So I was working full time Monday to Thursday. And then Friday I was working from home. And mm-hmm. I just felt like going from that transition of being home for like, what, 12 months yeah. straight into uni and then straight bang into work. I really struggled with that personally mm-hmm. myself. I think it was more of a mental thing because we're made to feel like we're supposed to be that mum at home.
Yeah.
And keeping in mind, like, I had literally gone straight from school to uni, had a baby, and then back into uni. I didn't really get that. I don't know what I missed out on, what I was feeling, but I just felt like there was something that I was missing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I went straight into work. Coco was put straight into daycare. We were paying a fortune for daycare in Auckland. And we were both like, how can we justify having more kids whilst paying nearly $400 a week for 4 days in daycare? Like, it's just ridiculous. And then I was offered my dream job as a cosmetic nurse for a clinic. And I ended up taking that on, I think it was end of February, March sort of thing, 2022. Yes. So I was living in Auckland, traveling to Hamilton 2 days a week. So dropping Coco at daycare, my mum would come up on a Thursday, Friday,
mm-hmm.
pick her up from daycare because Ben was away at sea for work. Mum would stay for those 2 days so then I could still work. Coco's home from daycare. And then the other 2 days a week, I'd be working in Auckland.
Yeah.
And Ben and I both just said one night, like, we need that family support still. Like, it's very hard to expect our family to come up. We can't afford a nanny to live in or anything like that. So we made the move back to Tauranga. I think it was June 22. And I was very, very lucky that my place of work made room for me in the Tauranga Clinic. So I still continued to work in Auckland. I think it was a day a fortnight. And then 2 days a week in Hamilton and then 2 days a week in Tauranga.
Yeah.
So I was still traveling quite a bit, but having that that family support around really, really helped us. We were both trying to get ahead and I just said to Ben, like, this is literally my dream job. I cannot turn it down, especially at my age. The youngest injector in New Zealand, it's so hard to keep up with that social pressure at the same time and show up for your family. And then... yeah, I think it was mid-22 when we finally came back. We moved in with family because we wanted to save and buy our first house, and there was no way a young family with a toddler can afford to save for a house. It's just ridiculous, So we're very, very lucky to have that support. We ended up talking about planning our second baby mid-22 when we had moved back to Tauranga. I was still traveling twice a week to Hamilton and then I dropped my Auckland down to 1 day a month in Auckland. We both just said, why not? Let's try. Like, I think this age gap, by the time we have baby number two, it'd be 2.5 years, which is probably perfect for what Coco needs and what we need. And then hopefully by that time we would have been able to buy our first house. Who knows? And then, we started trying, I think it was end of June 22. We were tracking my cycles, my ovulation, starting to learn my body a little bit more again. And then we thought that we fell pregnant early July, so it would have been, like, quite soon into trying. And then very faint lines throughout that month, and then it just... went and I did get my period, so I still don't know if I was pregnant or not pregnant or what happened there, but I felt like I was pregnant. And then the month after I fell pregnant with Belle, so that would have been July, and then I found out September 22.
And how did you feel seeing that positive test, like, the second time?
I was very excited. Just because, like, of the whole emotions of the month before, oh my god, no, I'm not. I was actually away on a work conference with one of my work girlfriends, at the time, and I just said to her, I know that I'm pregnant. And both of the times, well, actually all three of the times they have been pregnant, I get crazy wild dreams, like scary dreams. And I think it's normally like the first 3 to 4 weeks where I get that. And I just knew, I was like, I'm getting crazy whack dreams. Something's going on. It's not just the magnesium that I'm taking every night. And then, yeah, so I was away with my girlfriend. We got back into our accommodation and I did a test and I was like, I'm pregnant. She was like, what? So, yeah, we just had like a movie night together, celebrated with really nice pizza. And yeah. I didn't actually tell Ben for like a week because I was like, I really want to be one of those cool girls that can take a video and start finding out. And I was like, actually, I can't do this. I'm not fit for this. I'm not cut out for that.
Oh my gosh, I know. I love the videos where people can, like, oh my God, they set it up. But I don't know, it's so much self-control.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
And then we were actually in bed one night and I just said to him, I was like, we don't need to do it anymore. I'm actually pregnant. And he's like, oh, what? And I was like, yeah, we don't need to. And he's like, oh, okay, cool, sweet. So, yeah, that was that with Belle. And we both actually, like, were really unwell with the flu that week, so he had time off, so it was actually nice for us to be able to spend like some time together. So we just we kind of told Coco, but we didn't know if she'd understand it or not.
How old was she?
She had just turned 2.
And how did you go, like, what did she say? Do you feel like she got it throughout the course of your pregnancy?
Definitely as she grew a little bit older, she was like, oh, mummy's got a baby in her belly, and then she'd say, I've got a baby in my belly too. But yeah, we obviously were living with Ben's parents at the time, so we actually, I took Coco to Paper Plus and we bought some really cute, like, I'm a Big Sister books. We wrapped them up and I think it was like end of September, just before my mother-in-law's birthday, where we gave them the books and they're like, what? Exciting! and then my parents were ecstatic as well. But yeah, so we got 2 different books, gave one to my family and Ben's family, which is really sweet. Just made it feel a little bit more real.
Yeah, cool. And how were you feeling? Like, was this pregnancy any different to your first pregnancy in terms of symptoms in your first trimester?
Very similar. Very, very similar, actually.
Yeah.
I was still working a lot. So I think for me, it was a mental game of me saying, all right, I'm not tired today. I've got to show up. I've got so many clients to inject. I've got to do it, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And traveling a lot too. So mentally, I was like, I don't have time for this. I've got to carry on.
And how did you go with, like, finding a midwife this time? Did you want to go with the same one and was she available?
Yeah, I just sent her through a text and I was like, cool, I'm pregnant now. And that was pretty much it. So it was literally as soon as I found out I was pregnant, I told her.
Yeah.
Because, you know, these days it's very far and few from being able to choose the midwife that you like and that you'd like to stick with.
Cool. And did you find out the sex in this pregnancy or was it a secret again?
We did find out this time. We went to our scan. I actually had a couple of different scans with Belle because at first I think it was like 7 weeks or 8 weeks and I had to go for a dating scan, but there was no heartbeat. They're like, oh, okay, come back in a couple of weeks, and which I did, and she had grown so much by then. And then obviously you've got to wait till your 20-week scan to find out the gender because we didn't want to pay for the NIPT. And then, yeah, we just went down to the beach and did a cute little photo shoot with a Canon, which is really nice. It was just nice to have that moment to ourselves, like get photos. I didn't want to do a maternity shoot with Belle because I did that with Coco. I wanted something a little bit different as a family. But, yeah, we found out what we were having. I almost found, like, I feel like finding out what we were having made it harder for the name side of things because we're like, oh, we're having a girl, right? top 10 names, top 5 names. That was just really, really tricky.
Yeah, yeah. And did you want another girl? Did you want a boy? Like, what were you feeling?
Oh, absolutely. I wanted another girl.
Yeah, yeah.
I am such a girl mum, I feel. But I'd love to have a boy. More so for the sake of giving the girls a brother, and Ben obviously was a boy.
Yeah.
But it's so lovely having, seeing that sister bond that I never had. So it's really beautiful.
I often think that I'm like, if we had another baby and it was a girl, I'd have to have another child and hope it was a girl. So girl that she could, yeah. I just love sister, like, I see so many sisters and I'm like, oh, that's so nice. Like, I had a brother and obviously we have a great bond, but I feel like
Yeah. I'm like, you guys are going to steal each other's clothes when you're 16 and 17. Oh, come and cry to me about it. But cool, at least that's not me.
Yeah, amazing. And how did you feel about, like, birth this time? Did you want to do, like, similar to what you'd had with Coco? Were you just totally open to what happened again? How were you feeling there?
Again, very open to what was going to happen. I had worked through, I think I was 38 and a bit weeks when I did finish up work, because I was on my feet all day, every day. I was just like, I feel like she's going to come sooner. Yeah, I just felt like she was going to be early for some reason. And lucky that I did finish when I did, because I had like 3 days off work and then I had her. That, yeah, I just wanted to be open-minded again. I just felt like that worked for both Ben and I. And having a toddler as well, I didn't want the stress of having to go one way and then trying to sort out a toddler that isn't fitting in with what ends up happening with a birth or, you know, anything like that.
Yeah. And did you want to go to the birth centre?
Yeah, I was happy to stick with the birth centre.
Yeah.
Ben and I both said we didn't want to stay there as long as what we did with Coco's. Post-birth, though, I felt like the 2-3 days was quite a lot.
Yeah, cool. So talk us through, you obviously finished work, you've got 3 days of, like, finally, I'm no longer at work.
Yeah, literally get home, relax on the couch, legs up, start Netflix and a book, and then I started getting stretch and sweeps again, and I was already quite dilated. I think it was, like, 3 or 4 centimetres dilated, and I was like, oh, okay, I don't even feel this. And I was, I was 38 weeks at that, or just before 38 weeks, 37 and something.
Yeah.
And then, I got a stretch and sweep that day. And then I went home, cooked dinner, and then literally same as Coco's that night when I was cooking dinner, I started getting cramps in my back. And I was like, oh, okay, normal, obviously, just had a stretch and sweep. And then I went down, put Coco to bed, had a bath, and I was like, oh, I still feel niggly. I don't really know what's going on. Got the exercise ball out anyway, because I was like, obviously, like, I'm already a little bit dilated. Why not just jump on it anyway? And then I texted my midwife at, I think it was around 7 o'clock, and I was like, these niggles aren't going away. She was like, take some paracetamol if you haven't already, have a shower, and get into bed and try rest if you can.
Yeah.
I tried that, and as soon as I got into bed, I was like, nah, I can't. I can't sleep. You know that feeling, though, when you're like, I feel like I need to have a baby. There is no sleep in me right now.
I love that when they're like, have a rest, and you're like, fuck, I'm going to get any rest now.
Sorry, what is sleep?
Never resting again for the rest of my life.
Literally. And then, I just kept bouncing on the Swiss ball, and everybody else was upstairs, and I was downstairs. And I cannot stand when I'm in labor. Like, I get excruciating pains, lift right center, you name it. So I was like, I'm not walking up 2 flights of stairs to just tell them I'm in labor right now. So I just kept bouncing. Ben had his headphones in doing the dishes, and I was like trying to text him. No answer. And then Ange came down. She was like, are you okay? And I was like, I think I'm in labor. She was like, oh, okay. She goes up, tells him to come down. He's like, are you all right? And I'm like, I think I'm in labor. He's like, oh, okay. I'm just going to go to bed then. I'm like, okay. Tucked himself into bed.
Yeah.
And then I think it got to like 20 past 10. So my labor started just after 7. 20 past 10, I rang my midwife and I was like, right, I think we need to go. Both times of both labors, my contractions from like early on in labor, they've been like 45 seconds to a minute long.
Yeah.
And like a minute and a half, 2 minutes apart. So it's been so hard for me to gauge, like, is it time?
Yeah.
Do I stay at home for a bit longer? But I was like, I'm just going to trust this because I feel like everything's progressing quite quick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then we got in the car, left at 20 past 10, and I just felt like her head was literally right there. Mm-hmm. And I said to Ben, oh my God, am I going to have this baby in this car right now? And then, yeah, we got there and I think it was 9 centimeters dilated.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And I just bounced on the ball for a little bit. My waters hadn't broken at this point. So my midwife was like, right, we're going to break them and we'll let you progress another centimeter, see how you go. So she broke my waters and then I bounced for a little bit and then I got onto the bed. And I actually ended up pushing her on the bed in a different position, like on all fours. Because I wanted to, like, pick her up and birth her or deliver her myself sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I literally pushed for, like, 2 or 3 minutes and she was out. I just feel like second time round was just so speedy.
Amazing. I actually remember Ange, I think she was at our house, like, a couple of days later, and she was like, Gemma's just, like, a birthing goddess. She just, like, goes in there, she's got contractions, and then her baby's just, like, here.
Oh, my poor mum. Amazing. She was in Wellington. She was staying with family, and I text her at, like, 8 o'clock, and I was like, oh, I might have this baby tonight. I don't know. Mum's like, please don't. I want to be there. Like, please don't. And then literally 2 hours later, I, like, FaceTimed her with Belle in my arms. She's, like, bawling her eyes out. I'm like, I'm sorry. Oh, no.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And did you need any stitches or anything this time around?
No, I didn't this time around. Yeah. I've always been – well, both times I said to my midwife, when she's crowning, don't let me push. Like, just tell me to breathe.
Yeah.
Because I just wanted to be in control of that moment again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Amazing. And did you, like, bring her up to your chest? What sort of happened next?
Yeah, I did. Obviously, your mind's in, like, 10 different worlds. Mm. It was your fifth, like, this jellyfish. And then, yeah, I just put her up on my chest, lay down, and then she just started suckling pretty much straight away on me, which was amazing compared to Coco.
Yeah, it's different too, I feel like. Like you sort of spoke about in after Coco's birth, like you really don't, it's such a foreign thing, breastfeeding. Like,
it's just
so bizarre. And it, like, for me, it definitely didn't come like naturally. And I've watched a lot of like videos watching people breastfeed. And still then I'm like, how do you, like, where do you put them and how do you hold them and like, how do you make sure they're on the right place? And like, Yeah.
I struggle with that with Coco, and I got no pain whatsoever breastfeeding her. That was Belle. The first, like, few weeks, those afterbirth pains, oh, my God. Next level with Belle. And then it hurt when she fed from me from my bibs for the first few days too whilst I was conscious of that. But the afterbirth pains, oh, I felt like they were worse than contractions themselves. I would cry every time I'd feed her because of those pains.
Yeah.
So sore.
Yeah. And was it just when you were feeding her that you'd get
them? Yeah, just when I fed her. Obviously that whole oxytocin. Contracting the uterus. But, very, very uncomfortable. Apparently it gets worse every baby you have. And I'm like, no thanks.
Yeah. And did Coco stay with your family over that time?
So she was with my in-laws. My parents were obviously away. And then, they bought them, or they bought her up for us the day after. And yeah, she was really cute.
Oh, was she?
I was like, I feel bad taking a baby home and not getting her a gift. So I was like, right, Ben, you can go to Kmart, get her a doll's house and say this is from the baby. That'll keep her happy.
And how long did you stay in the birth center for this time?
We stayed there, I think it was just the one night. So I birthed her and then the night after that, and then we just went home. I was like, I don't
know.
I think for us, we just wanted to get home, get into routine, obviously adjust to literally two kids.
Yeah.
That's a handful itself. We just took ourselves home and they're like, are you sure you want to go? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. I want to go.
And how did you find the first like week or two adjusting to like mum of two, recovering from birth, all of the things?
It's definitely a journey. I give my hands to those who have more than two kids because trying to fit in feeding, playing a puzzle game with a toddler, trying to put a newborn down to sleep, trying to eat and shower yourself, like, that's huge. But again, so lucky to have the support that we do from both my parents and my partner's parents. Obviously we're living with them, so yeah, very very grateful always. But such, same as last time actually with Coco, the postpartum hormones hit me a lot, and for a lot longer this time with Belle.
Yeah.
I think it might have even been 6 weeks after I had Belle that I really struggled.
We unfortunately lost the end of Gemma's episode, and her and I need to record the last 5 minutes or so that is not on here, but I really wanted to get it up for you today because I think it's such a positive birth story times two, and I know she really wanted to share it with you too. So I'll make sure that I adjust the ending and I'll reshare it when it is updated, but I hope you've loved this episode. I'd love to hear from you. Jordan with a Y at kiwibirthtales.com, or you can find me on Instagram at kiwibirthtales or at Your Birth Project. I will be back with another birth story very soon.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.